What have you done for me lately? After yesterday's mammoth bailout plan, the markets drop.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith in for Steve Chiatakis. Markets are mostly down this morning after spiking yesterday on news that European leaders had laid out a $1 trillion bailout plan to protect countries that might have Greece-like debt problems. Steve Barrow with Standard Bank says investors are starting to realize how big the underlying problem is.
The package that we have papers over the cracks because it generates cheaper loans for various countries. But I think those cracks are still very much there, and those cracks will undermine the euro going forward.
Those worries have carried over into the markets this morning. London's FTSE is down 1.75%. Tokyo's Nikkei index lost 1.1%. Yesterday, U.S. markets rose on that bailout news. The Dow Jones Industrial Average jumped 3.9% to close at 10,785. The price of oil is less than $76 a barrel this morning, that on worries that the euro could falter and slow global growth. Meanwhile, the massive oil leak continues to pump more than 200,000 gallons of oil a day into the Gulf of Mexico. Later today, President Obama will propose splitting up a key agency that oversees offshore drilling. The Associated Press reports this morning the administration will divide the Minerals Management Service in two and separate safety enforcement from the collection of billions in drilling leases. Congressional hearings also start today into what caused the oil leak. Our Washington Bureau Chief John Dimsdale joins us live. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Stacey.
So, John, what's going on in Washington this morning?
Well, I think as the financial and legal liabilities begin to sink in here, there will be lots of finger pointing.
Well, I guess that's not so surprising. Whose fingers?
The chairman of BP America will be here. BP was the one who applied for the well permit and owns the oil. The owner of the drilling rig, Transocean, will send its CEO. And then there's the contractor that installed a cement casing around the wellhead, Halliburton. Plus, in a hearing tomorrow, the manufacturer of that blowout preventer, Cameron is the name of the company, will testify.
That's quite a lineup. What are they all expected to say?
Well, we still don't know what happened 5,000 feet below the surface of the water, but each company has come up with reasons why it wasn't their fault. The rig's operator, Transocean, will point out that the cement casing may be to blame. The cement contractor, Halliburton, says their job was to complete, and it had been tested. And they'll say it was the well owner, BP, that may have decided to pump oil too soon. BP will say that of the 126 employees on the drilling rig, only 7 were BP employees. And all 3 companies will question why the blowout preventer made by Cameron, supposedly a fail-safe piece of equipment, failed to stop the leak.
So if all that is true, why is BP the one in all the headlines?
BP applied for the permit, they own the oil, they own the well, and they certified in the environmental impact statement that they would be responsible for any spill.
John Dimsdale in Washington. Thank you, John.
You're welcome.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by The Economist, covering news and ideas from around the world and the connections between them. The Economist, on newsstands, in bookstores, and at economist.com. And by Constant Contact, working to help small businesses understand what social media can do for them. Learn more at constantcontact.com/social media. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
Earlier this week, Defense Secretary Robert Gates said the Pentagon needs to cut the fat out of the military budget. Gates said defense spending is unsustainable. And this month, Fast Company magazine profiles Mike Mullen, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. He's taking a more business-like approach to military strategy. Reporter Jeff Chu joins us now. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning.
You make the point that if it were a business, the military would be the largest business in the U.S. How has it been run up until now that would make it different from the way that the second largest business, I think was Exxon, is run?
I don't think that the military has always been as cost conscious as many of our private sector businesses. For instance, when one brigade has a helicopter, they see that as theirs. And while I was traveling with Admiral Mullen, he talked with some junior army officers And he said to this group of people, that's not your helicopter, it's our helicopter. And this, to the rest of us, might seem like something that we learned in kindergarten. But in a very hierarchical organization with a lot of silos, it's kind of bracing to be told, that's not your toy, it's everybody's.
If I remember this right, though, Mullen does not plan on cutting back on equipment for the military. In fact, I think he wanted to build more ships.
I think Mullen's attitude is, we have to use the resources we have in a smarter way. It's not necessarily about more. It's about better use, better deployment, and more efficient sharing.
How will his approach change the military? I mean, as you mentioned, he's tweeting, he has a Facebook page, but this is really not the way that we traditionally think of the military.
I think you're seeing a lot more thinking about communications issues and strategic issues in a different way, especially among younger officers. He's really aware of the fact that, for the most part, the people serving in the military are quite young. And what he's trying to do is to tap some of the strengths that they have and bring their skills to a higher profile more quickly.
So, Jeff, what kinds of things does Admiral Mullen tweet about?
Up till this point, he's mainly been tweeting about military stuff. He spends a lot of time with wounded warriors, so he tweets about his visits to hospitals. The new social media policy does say that he should be tweeting more about personal stuff. So we may learn, for instance, more about his love for In-N-Out Burger. I joined him there for a meal with him and Mrs. Mullen, and he loves the strawberry milkshakes. So I anticipate a shout-out to In-N-Out in the future.
Jeff Chu is articles editor at Fast Company. He's the author of the May cover story on Mike Mullen. Jeff, thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
And finally, a website called Search Engine Land reports one of the most popular searches on Google has become, how do I delete my Facebook account? For the record, you can delete it, but they will never stop emailing you.
Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in.
Facebook has about 500 million members. In Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.